Yes, welcome to another week. It is the Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Glad you're with us. Lots to get to on this Monday's show. Hope you had a great weekend. Lots happening. You know, doesn't NBA basketball and having the local team involved just change the way you look at April and May? Now, I know we're entering the month where there's a lot going on with the Indianapolis 500, but I got to tell you, it is so much fun to be invested into the NBA playoffs, specifically because there's stake at play in all of these Eastern Conference playoff series. And tonight, the Indiana Pacers begin their semifinal series in the Eastern Conference with the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden, 7:30, that tip-off. And there's intriguing storylines all across the way in that regard. And so we'll dive into the specifics of that game coming up here in the next segment of the show. Later this week, we'll talk about the Indianapolis 500 and the Grand Prix that's going to begin the month of May this coming Saturday in the IndyCar Series. So lots to get to there. Ball State first, though. Congratulations to Ball State softball, because they have secured a spot in the Mid-American Conference Tournament with their performance over the weekend at Central Michigan. They won the series 2-1, lost the first game on Saturday, ended up having a perfect game thrown on Saturday evening, and then finishing off Central Michigan yesterday, 5-2. I got to tell you, it is so impressive what they have done, and really what baseball's done. They're different stories, but they're kind of the same in a variety of ways. These two teams have really fought a lot over the last couple of weeks to put themselves in the positions they are. But for Ball State softball, a couple of things. One, when you are needing to win and get in, and you have to do that on the road, that's huge. I mean, absolutely huge. Really, if you look at since April 24th, Ball State has played in 6 games, 5 of which Mid-American Conference play, and they're 3-3 in that time frame. The Mid-American Conference games 3-2, so just slightly above 500, and it's what got them here. And honestly, it's crazy when you look at it in totality. Ball State loses Saturday, that 1 o'clock game, and you know the circumstances at play with the other teams in the Mid-American Conference fighting for that sixth position. Look, at the end of the day, you needed to win both games to get in, and doing so on the road and doing so to kind of make up for what was a tough result in game number one shows you all you need to know. And by the way, the hardest games to come back from is when you lost a close one. Ball State had the bases loaded in that first Saturday game, down by a run, couldn't get a run across. I mean, that's heartbreaking. And you think in the back of your head, and every player and performer kind of thinks this way, hey, what if that's it? What if that's part of the reason maybe we don't get into the conference tournament? But instead, they were able to respond. And I got to tell you, that's huge. I mean, it's not just huge because we say it's huge. It's huge because the most dangerous teams in postseason play are the ones that had to earn it. Now, you might say, oh, hey, Mark, the number one seed had to earn it too. Yeah, but down the stretch of the last couple of weeks, were they really stressed playing in close games, playing in games that meant something for their postseason seeding? Not necessarily. And so, you know, this is the same in the NBA playoffs. I think the Boston Celtics are vulnerable. I do. And the reason why, they were so far ahead in the Eastern Conference, like really the last month, you can't tell me in the back of their minds, you kind of coast a little bit, right? You kind of do. When you're 8, 9, 10 games ahead, you've secured the number one seed. And you know, really at that point, you're just playing for record. In a lot of ways. And so going back to Ball State softball and going to what baseball has here in the next couple of weekends as well, when you play and you earn your way in, you're dangerous because you've already been playing postseason softball in this case for a while. And so I do think that that translates for Ball State softball. Does it mean they're going to win the Mid-American Conference tournament? Maybe not, but I got to tell you, I would rather play meaningful games going into the conference tournament than not, you know, because we have seen, especially in the Mid-American Conference, I feel like a broken record when we say this, that when you know, you're the team that everybody kind of wants to hunt in conference play. Ball State baseball's perfect example of this last year. They took down the number one seed last year and were kind of the underdog coming in. They had to earn their spot to get to where they got to, and they won the conference tournament. So it can help you when you play meaningful games heading into the conference tournament. But at this point, look, this is what you need to know. Congratulations to Ball State softball. That's an outstanding, outstanding turnaround over the last 4 or 5 weeks. They've won a multitude of series in different positions. You know, they won the series against Northern Illinois, against Akron, against Bowling Green, against Buffalo. Really, they were in a situation going back to the beginning of April where they had very little margin for error. They were second to last in the Mid-American Conference, found their way in the middle, and it all came down to this series, and they got in. You got to give them immense credit, and Helen Pena and that crew. They're dangerous heading in to the conference tournament. It's going to be fun to watch. Fun to watch and see what all ends up playing out. Ball State's going to play on Wednesday at 2:30 against the number 3 seed Western Michigan to begin Mid-American Conference play. Here's the deal. You give yourself a chance, you have a chance. I mean, it sounds remedial, it sounds basic, but that's where you're at. And so got to be happy. You know, give yourself a chance in the postseason. That's what you have. So we'll talk more about that as we go along through the week. So we're going to talk some Pacers coming up here in a moment. Talk a little Indianapolis 500 and the Grand Prix of Indy coming up on Saturday. So there's a lot coming up in this regard. But here was my weekend, okay? So there wasn't a lot of appointment television from a sports standpoint this weekend. Not a ton. But I get fascinated, just like anybody else does, right? When there's any sort of Game 7 out there, no matter what the sport is, I'll watch hockey, and I don't watch a ton of hockey, but I'll watch Game 7 in hockey. I love watching those urgency moments. I don't care what round it is. I don't care the matchup. I don't care about anything. And there was one series in the NBA, the Cleveland Cavaliers and Orlando Magic, that got kind of buried. You know, Cleveland feels very top-heavy with Donovan Mitchell. Orlando is a lot like the Indiana Pacers. They have a lot of young talent. They have a young superstar. And they have players, honestly, if you watch enough college basketball, you would recognize. Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, Paolo Banchero, Mo Wagner. I mean, there's high-level players that played in college basketball, so you're going to be semi-familiar with those players. But, you know, I love watching the games where you have nothing that you're really watching for. You're just watching the game. And so I found myself watching it yesterday. And, you know, when I watch those games, sometimes I kind of want to just be a basketball fan and watch. But innately, I got to analyze. I always have to. What would I do in this situation? What would I look at in this situation without knowing either of these teams? And by the way, I don't think I watched one Orlando game or one Cleveland Cavaliers game all year long. Neither. I think the only Cleveland Cavaliers game I watched was at the end of the regular season when the Pacers went to Cleveland and they got run out of the building there in the fourth quarter late. It's the only one I've watched. So I don't know stylistically all those different things. So I'm watching early on, and I just kind of take a little bit of a footnote in watching the way Orlando's playing. I mean, they are executing at a high level on both sides of the floor. They get up to a 16-18-point lead, and they are really making Cleveland just – I mean, the entire building was quiet. You could hear a pin drop. You know, in a Game 7 – when you have it on your home floor and the road team comes in and shuts you up in a lot of ways, that's what Orlando did. And then at the end of the second quarter, it kind of shifted, made things interesting going to the third and the fourth. But I got to tell you, if If you had tuned in to just the first half or just the second half, you saw two totally different games. And I'm going to get to my point coming up that we say time and time again about playoff postseason basketball that doesn't get mentioned enough. Okay, Cleveland ended up winning. And, you know, they ended up executing and winning actually pretty handily down the stretch. Orlando kind of made it interesting because they decided their shots weren't falling in the second half. Let's drive it to the rim, draw contact, and get to the free throw line. That's the only source of offense that Orlando had. But you could see Orlando get tight. You could see the difference in the spring in their step, the flow of the offense, and the spring on their jumpers. Things got tight, and they got tight at the end because guess what? And nobody wants to say this. They knew the moment. That was the first time that group had entered that moment. Look, Donovan Mitchell really hasn't been in a moment like that with Cleveland, but he's a guy in Utah that did win playoff series. He's a guy in Utah that has played in playoff series, multiple. He's played in a lot of them, and the experience plays big. But you could see early on when his shot wasn't falling, there was no panic, no worry, not a problem at all. And then he started to get aggressive down the stretch, hit some shots, and it was ball game by then. Max Strus, who came from the Miami Heat that played in an NBA Finals recently, you know, he was not afraid hitting a couple of threes from the right wing. Amazing how much that shifted. But, folks, if I could teach you anything about the playoffs, it's this. Hitting shots early is a whole lot different than making plays or hitting shots late. And you know what? The mental game plays in. The experience factor plays in. Most oftentimes, the more experienced team or the one that's led by a player that has more experience, because Cleveland's not an experienced team. They're not. Darius Garland hasn't played a lot of playoff series. Evan Mobley, Isaac Okoro, Caris LeVert, Max Strus. That's not a group of players that you're saying, oh, we've seen them in the playoffs a ton. You haven't. But man, Donovan Mitchell makes a difference compared to Paolo Banchero. Paolo Banchero was unstoppable in the first half for Orlando. Not quite the same in the second half. Not quite. And it was interesting. And, you know, we don't say this enough in sports, but golly, making plays late and making plays early are two totally different things. How many times have you seen a team jump out early? And, you know, this is what stood out to me. You remember the NFC Championship, the Detroit Lions? Sorry, Lions fans. Detroit Lions versus the San Francisco 49ers. They had a 17-20-point lead, something like that. And Jared Goff could not miss. He dropped back. He had two or three options. Everything was wide open. Man, oh, man. It was like video game stuff. Then San Francisco scores before the end of the half, go to halftime, and when Detroit came out of the locker room, I got to tell you, that looked like a totally different game, totally different team, totally different quarterback. And we're even talking about a quarterback that's been to the Super Bowl, but the throws that were seamless in the first half for Jared Goff, not so much in the second half. Short-arming some things, overthrowing receivers, and it was like, you know, you don't want to say it this way because it sounds really harsh, but making plays early compared to making plays late are two totally different aspects because guess what you can't turn off? You can't turn off your brain that is telling you how big of a moment you're playing in, you know, how big of a moment it is, you know? I've had a couple of experiences in my broadcasting career where that's happened to me. You know, I've listened back to the broadcast, and I know it was a big game, a big moment, all those things. And, you know, your brain's going a million miles an hour, and it's telling you how big that moment is to the point where it gets distracting, and all your preparation just changes everything. And, man, I was watching that game yesterday, Orlando in Cleveland, and it's like everybody's the Orlando Magic's brains had an on and off switch, And it was once the you know, you say, like, you know, when your brain turns on, you play better. It's almost like the brain, you know, brain was turned on of the Orlando Magic players, and they started to think, and they started to understand the moment. And it went south, and it went south quickly. And, you know, what's interesting about the NBA playoffs is really this year, there's a lot of inexperienced teams. Think about Oklahoma City. Okay, think about you know, the Denver Nuggets last year were inexperienced. These Indiana Pacers, the New York Knicks. There's a lot of teams that are inexperienced. But here's the balance of all of this, and this is what I'm going to come back to on this. There's teams that are inexperienced yet somehow thrive in those big moments, and we're going to talk about Knicks Pacers. And by the way, Philadelphia, the Knicks just played them, beat them in six games. If there was a team in that series that was way more experienced, it by far was the Philadelphia 76ers. With Tobias Harris and Joel Embiid, I want to know how many playoff games that group has played together compared to the New York Knicks totality of that group. I guarantee you it's probably two times the difference. And yet, New York, were the ones thriving in those moments. So, like, here's the thing. It's not always experience. It's not. I think players and teams and, you know, the DNA of your basketball team is more important than the experience of the moment, because Oklahoma City has been great in crunch time this year. You know, New York has been great in crunch time. The Pacers have been great in crunch time. But there's certain groups that have it, and there's certain groups that do not. And by the way, I felt that way with about 4 minutes to go in that second quarter yesterday. You know, I wasn't so invested that I was ready to proclaim how right I was, that I was watching that game and saying, I could see that coming. But, you know, there was a flow to the game, and you're like, the Magic cannot miss. I think Cleveland started 1-for-10 from three in the first half of that game, and you could tell those fans were crickets. And then things turned around and shot. It's amazing. Hitting shots early compared to hitting shots late, or how about, let's make it broader, making plays early compared to making plays late is a part of sports that, quite frankly, you can't teach. You can't really prepare somebody for, because Orlando was doing everything that they should have done in the first half. And really, in the second half, it's not like they did anything worse. It was more about them missing shots than it was about Cleveland's defense. And I know it's so easy on the telecast for the announcers to say, well, look how well, you know, how well Cleveland's locked down Orlando. Yeah, I'm looking at these shots. They're wide open. They're great looks. They were the same looks that were in the second quarter than there were in the fourth quarter. Maybe a little more tightly contested. Maybe. Not by much. And it goes down to the DNA, the psychology, all those different things. We're not in that business. We kind of think we are at different times. But making shots early compared to making shots late, making plays early compared to making plays late, oh, man, it gets tight out there. It absolutely does. And this is coming from somebody. I tell you this frequently because I like to give you perspective and honesty. I never played sports at a high level. Okay, you know, I played at the second tier league in Carmel, Indiana, because I couldn't make the high school team. I played well in that league, but I'm not going to tell you that I, you know, played at a high level. I did not, but, you know, I'm around coaches, players, teams, all those different things. And, man, there's a lot of coaches out there that are probably listening to this program right now, and they are thinking the same thing about their particular teams. There's players, they want the ball in their hands. There's other players, they don't wait. You know, it's okay if they contribute first, second, third quarter. When it comes to the fourth quarter, man, there's some players I know for a fact that the coaches are thinking, man, I don't want this player to have the ball in their hands. I just don't. Because they're not sure. There's not that trust there. And they trust him first, second, third quarter. Fourth quarter, a little different. First half, sure. Last 5 minutes of the second half, there's definitely a hierarchy. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, that happens at the professional level as well. It is a different ball game. It is a different ball game in the second half of Game 7 compared to the first half of Game 7. You might think, oh, the whole game of Game 7 is huge. No. Nope. Hitting shots early compared to hitting shots late. And, look, I think Orlando's going to be a nice team if they can find another piece to put next to Paolo Banchero, you know. And it should be viewed in Orlando, hey, nice season, got to 7 games, you know, add a little bit more, you'll be back here. But it also was pretty glaring about the shot-making late compared to the shot-making early, and that is a big deal in sports and big urgency moments. And you know what? I think we have two teams in this Knicks-Pacers series. And by the way, this just isn't professional level. This goes for college. This goes for high school. I guarantee you there's coaches out there listening to this right now nodding their heads. Because you know what? Some of them have told me that. Absolutely. I've covered a lot of different coaches, and there's a hey, I want this person to have the ball in their hands late, this person, nah, not so much. And that's why when you play in tight games late and they mean something, you see things slow down a lot for a reason. Big time. It's crazy. And we saw that in full force yesterday. It was an enjoyable game. Good for Cleveland. I think Donovan Mitchell is a dude. You know, he's a guy that doesn't get talked about enough, but he is tough on tough. When he gets his shot going, man, he has no fear. None. Zero. And he reminds me of Jalen Brunson from the New York Knicks, which the Indiana Pacers are going to get quite familiar with coming up in this next playoff series that begins tonight at 7:30. It is Pacers-Knicks, 7:30. The tip from Madison Square Garden should be very interesting to see how all of it plays out. Thanks to those of you joining us on Facebook Live. Should be an interesting night. We're going to break it all down when we come back and talk about all of this. You know, I think both either of these teams that come out are going to be very difficult matchups for whatever happens in the next series. And we'll talk all about that when we return. Hope you all had a great weekend. You can interact with us at MarkWMUN on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it. We're back after this on The Power on a Monday. Talk amongst WMUN. Yes, welcome back, as always, powered, presented, whatever you want to call it, by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you, 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road right here in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com. Big night for the Indiana Pacers. They begin their Eastern Conference semifinal series with the New York Knicks. And, look, I've got to think this. I do. I've got to think that the renewal of this quote-unquote rivalry is just a little different than any other general playoff series. Like, if the Pacers had beaten the Knicks in round one and faced Milwaukee, for instance, here in round two, I don't know if it would have the same feel that this does. Now, I think advancing in the playoffs, regardless of how you do it, is absolutely going to put a spotlight on you in a positive manner. And this one right there, and, you know, I brought up in the previous segment of the show about making plays late, making shots late, compared to making shots or making plays early. And it's probably been my number one question heading into the playoffs for obvious reasons for this Indiana Pacers team. Miles Turner was a contributing piece about 4 years ago on a playoff team that never won a playoff series. Nobody on this team, obviously so, in a 10-year span since the Pacers won their last playoff series, has been on the Indiana Pacers when they've won a playoff series. You guessed it. So it was always something for me. that I was curious about with this team, that they've done a pretty good job of making plays or hitting shots late in the regular season, but folks, it changes in the playoffs. It changes in the postseason, and I think that's a perfectly legitimate question to have wanted answered. And I think it's been answered in a pretty emphatic way. And it's not just been answered in an emphatic way in the first round series, but it's been answered in this respect. You know, I kind of got on Tyrese Halliburton at the end of the regular season, and especially in game number one against Milwaukee, for not being aggressive enough. That when it comes to the postseason, you expect your stars to have a higher usage, higher minutes, higher everything. And to be honest with you, that's not been the case with the Indiana Pacers in the playoffs. They have done something that is a little abnormal for a playoff team having success, and that is making it a collective depth effort rather than we've got two really special players in Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam. I thought that that's what it was going to be, and it hasn't ended up that way. What you would think most playoff teams would resemble that are a 4, 5, or 6 seed would be what the New York Knicks and their style and how they play, or the Cleveland Cavaliers, as we just mentioned with Donovan Mitchell, playing pretty dominant and pretty high usage to Donovan Mitchell. Now, the Pacers are a more well-rounded roster than it seems those teams are. However, I would have expected the Pacers to feature Halliburton more. But you know what? It actually makes me more optimistic about their chances advancing further the way that they won the first round series because, forgive me, but I don't think Tyrese Halliburton was the leading scorer in any one game in the first round series. I could be wrong about that, but I know in the last game he was not. He was not in game 5. He wasn't in game 4. That was Miles Turner. One in game 3, so I guess maybe game 3 because he had the floater late where, you know, in overtime the Pacers outlasted the Milwaukee Bucks. And actually, no, Miles Turner had 29 in that game as well. So Halliburton had 18. Tyrese Halliburton hasn't been the leading scorer for the Indiana Pacers in any one of these games that they've won. That tells you a lot. And the playmaking ability to get others involved is great in the regular season, but when it's extended to the postseason, I expect the style of play to be different. And the fact of the matter is, the Pacers' style in the regular season has actually translated to the postseason, which is fascinating. I think it's incredibly fascinating. And I wouldn't expect them against this Knicks team to change up anything. So that's number one for me that I think has been emphatically answered. The other part for me that has been a bit of a surprise is Obi Toppin, TJ McConnell, Aaron Nesmith, and Andrew Nembhard, all four of those guys, have all been just huge X factors. I mean, we would expect Halliburton, Siakam, and Turner to do their thing. Now, Turner's kind of the fringe where I don't know if he's quite in the discussion of Siakam and Halliburton, but he certainly isn't a guy that I would loop in with Obi Toppin and Andrew Nembhard, etc. So he's kind of there in the middle, so I guess I would graduate him up to the level of Halliburton and Siakam that you expect those guys to have their moments in their games, but I just didn't know, and maybe this playoff series will be different, I just didn't know how impactful McConnell, Toppin, Nembhard, and Nesmith would end up being. Like, there's been times in this postseason already where those guys have taken the big shot. You know, McConnell's 2 threes, one at the end of the third, the early fourth, to jet the Pacers to the win. I mean, you wouldn't really necessarily advise him to be the guy that takes those shots, and yet he does, and made big plays. Obi Toppin was huge in the first half. Andrew Nembhard was hitting big threes at the end of game number 2, and then Aaron Nesmith has had timely shots, timely perimeter shots at different times this season. That's the other part that has been awfully surprising, because those minutes become very important for those guys. But at the same time, you would expect the shot making to look a little different, and it has not changed at all. He's been outstanding. All of them have been outstanding. And so you head into this Knicks series, and I got to tell you, I look at this New York Knicks team, and I say, if you put the Milwaukee Bucks roster next to the New York Knicks, and I'm talking active roster, they look similar in a lot of ways. Now, I think the Knicks have better shooters, have more young legs, but they go seven deep. The Milwaukee Bucks were going eight or nine deep with Danilo Gallinari and A.J. Green playing minutes. So you're going to play a short rotation team again with a dominant ball handler star in Jalen Brunson, and the other guys around, you're just kind of like, yeah, okay. I mean, Dante DiVincenzo can hit shots. Josh Hart is a proven veteran in the NBA. Looks like Bojan Bogdanovic is out. Like, you're looking at this basketball team and you're saying, okay, you look at them and they feel like Milwaukee. They do. They feel like Milwaukee in a lot of ways. And I'm trying to wrap my head around why I don't, why I can't be a homer and say, you know, New York is the far superior team, because that's what everybody else is kind of saying, that New York is a way better team than Indiana. I don't see it. I just don't see it, and I'm trying to be as unbiased, as possibly unbiased as I can possibly be, and I can't fathom an argument where the Indiana Pacers don't win this series. Amazingly enough, to think that way, that if the Pacers win this series, they're headed to the Eastern Conference Finals. But I truly believe that because, A, you know, if you look at, I'm looking at the Philadelphia matchup for the New York Knicks. Okay, you know, Brunson is like Damian Lillard. Now, he's not as perimeter dominant. He's a guy that can pull up on you, a guy that can get to the rim, a guy that isn't afraid to get to the free throw line, a little bit more than Damian Lillard. But I just thought the Indiana Pacers did a brilliant job on Damian Lillard when he was healthy, mixing up the different assignments with Nembhard getting a crack at him, McConnell getting a crack at him. Every once in a while, you would see Nesmith get a crack at him. I think the Pacers match up really well against the New York Knicks from the standpoint that I don't see Philadelphia having guards that can really, really hang with Jalen Brunson. And it certainly showed, because I think he had back-to-back 40-point games to close out the Philadelphia 76ers. But in my opinion, it's not that you're going to slow Brunson down and hold him to under 20 points a game or whatever the case may be, but I think the formula you used against Milwaukee can be useful this time around with the New York Knicks as well, because they are banged up. They play a short rotation. They have one guy that means a whole heck of a lot. If Jalen Brunson has an off night, the New York Knicks are not winning the basketball game. They just can't. It's just not going to happen. So, again, I wrap my head around all of these different things and try to convince myself of how in the world the New York Knicks with this iteration of that team is going to beat this deep Indiana Pacers team that doesn't have one ridiculous player. I think Jalen Brunson can be the best player in this series, and the New York Knicks still lose this series. Like, I think Jalen Brunson could be the best player in this series, dominant, scoring 35 a game, and yet New York could lose because they're very thin, very thin. And if you're telling me Josh Hart, Dante DiVincenzo are going to beat you, that's more concerning to me than it would be Jalen Brunson being great. Because I expect him to be great. I expect him to score 30-plus a game. The fact of the matter is, can he keep up that pace? Because he had to put a lot on his shoulders in that Philadelphia series, and in my opinion, that is great news for the Indiana Pacers, that he had to carry such a heavy load, whereas the Pacers, I think in all four of their wins, had four different leading scorers in the wins against Milwaukee. It is so conducive to the Pacers winning this series. The one area that is going to be the biggest key to this series is the toughness factor. So keeping New York off the free throw line, because it's what they're going to want to do, and the rebounding battle. I don't know if the Pacers are going to win the rebounding battle, but they can't get beat by 10 to 15 on the boards. Because the second chance opportunities, especially on the road, especially in a game one atmosphere tonight, apparently that's where New York is great. You know, they are really, really good at getting offensive rebounds, getting second chance points, you know, and the guards rebound really well. So Hart, DiVincenzo, and Brunson are all really good rebounders. So it's not just the big men inside, which I don't really have a lot of concern. Mitchell Robinson and the Harvenstein kid, that they play, both of those guys, if you want to know a little bit more about the New York Knicks, they don't bother me at all. And I look at this in totality and I say, what a golden opportunity for the Indiana Pacers. And you don't want to look ahead, but I mean, nobody played Boston better than Indiana. So, like, you're starting to think of these possibilities. You don't want to walk before you run. But I look at this series and say, my goodness, is this a great matchup for Indiana? And you know what? Maybe I'll eat my words on that. I don't know. Maybe I'll be wrong. But it just looks like a very, very good matchup for the Indiana Pacers. It does. It looks like a really good matchup. But, again, Brunson can be great. You got to shut out everybody else. Shut them out. And, you know, I don't think New York has a Chris Middleton. So, you know, it's going to have to be an unsung guy like Josh Hart and Dante DiVincenzo or whatever the case may be. They are not an elite three-point shooting team either. They're just tough. They're gritty. They find ways to win. And you know what? Sometimes those types of teams give you a little bit more fear than the ones that have all the numbers and can shoot the lights out and whatever the case may be. I am not trying to insinuate this is going to be an easy series for the Indiana Pacers. All I'm saying, they match up great. They really do. Indiana matches up really well based on what New York is right now. And New York's without Bojan Bogdanović, who was a sixth man of the year candidate and an all-star in Julius Randle. They have not played the majority of this postseason. Julius Randle hadn't played since really the middle of the season in a lot of ways. So, again, you're facing another banged-up team, but who cares? Take advantage of what you have in front of you. And I got to tell you, I think this is a wonderful matchup for Indiana. I also think this is a better matchup on the offensive end for Tyrese Halliburton. I do. I think Tyrese Halliburton is going to have a better offensive series, their series, than they did in the last series. Really feel that way. So, excitement in the air tonight for Indiana and New York. Do it again. I mean, come on. The rivalry goes back to the 90s, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And you're going to see a lot of references to the past, and it brings out the 90s Pacers fan in me. Those were the days, man, to grow up with this rivalry and all those sorts of things. I hope both of these teams embrace that, because there's a lot here. And these two teams have not had a lot of success in the postseason in the last couple of decades, and one's going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Can you believe that? I mean, that's wild when you really think about it. But game one tonight at Madison Square Garden, 7:30. The tip, and you best believe we'll have all the post-show coverage coming up on tomorrow's show. All right, one final break, and we're back for the final segment of this Monday show. We'll do all of that when we come back after this. As always, brought to you in part by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you get all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us on the program. As always, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. So Pacers-Knicks tonight. We'll talk all about it on tomorrow's show. And yeah, I think game one is going to be very interesting. And look, it is very hard in game number one to take it away from the home team. There's just so much around it, and especially Madison Square Garden. In my opinion, I think this Pacers team is very well equipped to kind of take all of the emotion and be able to play well in the midst of it. I don't know what it is about this team, but it just feels like they don't really care about anybody else. And I think they showed that in the Milwaukee series with a lot of extracurricular stuff from Bobby Portis and Patrick Beverley especially. And I thought that they navigated it well while also not really backing down from that moment. And to be honest with you, that's important stuff this time of the year. I know a lot of people might think, oh, who really cares? If you don't make shots and you don't win, who cares about the chirpy? It sets a tone that you're not afraid, you're not backing down. It does matter. It really, really does matter. And so I'm fascinated. I really, really am by tonight. I think game one in a lot of ways can be in isolation, but if it goes your way, you could set the tone for the series tonight. You really could. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I think this is a really good matchup for Indiana. There's something about this matchup I really like. So we'll see how all of it plays out. So other things we'll be monitoring this week, Ball State baseball, Ball State softball. It'll be early next week when Ball State men's golf plays in the regional round of the NCAA championship after they won the Mid-American Conference tournament last weekend. So some things coming up there. Want to say congratulations to all of the Ball State graduates from over the weekend. You know, drove past the campus a little bit. It's cool to see a lot of people starting the next chapter of their lives in a positive way. So congratulations to all of the graduates from over the weekend as well. There is a story that was floated out over the weekend, and I'm trying to gather some more information on this, and it had to do with high school sports, and you may have seen it over the weekend. It's a statewide story, by the way. I want to get some more information on it and see if there's anything more to the story, because if so, it would be it'd be an interesting deal. I'll tell you that much. So if you haven't seen it, we'll try to get into it tomorrow. If not, maybe later in the week as I gather more information on it as well. So, hey, I love playoff basketball. We got a good one tonight. Pacers Knicks, 7:30 is the tip-off. You can actually hear the conference right here on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN with Mark Boyle, Pat Boyle, and Eddie Gill, etc. Should be a lot of fun to see how it plays out tonight. So we are back with you live tomorrow to recap it all. Here at 4 o'clock on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. Have a good evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 4.